All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald, he is the partner a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, a 30-year veteran of the practice of law. He's a daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. All right, let me just say this. Right Side Way monologue, I'll start off by a famous quote you've all heard, Sir Edmund Burke. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And it's true. Sir Edmund nailed it. You know, your rhetoric is fine, right? Speech is necessary. Having a voice is imperative. But sometimes the good people of this nation have to set aside words and actually take action. Like get busy. Like actually do something. And there's no better time than the present, in my opinion. There was a scene in the movie by Mel Gibson called The Patriot. Great movie. It was a very telling scene. And in that movie, a movie, by the way, which was very loosely based upon the real-life character of a guy named Francis Marion. They nicknamed him the Swamp Fox during the American Revolution. But in the movie, Gibson's character had initially been opposed to the war. He was. He was opposed to a fight with the British at the onset of the Revolutionary War. But later in the movie, as he was fighting for the cause, he was lamenting the fact that he had delayed taking action. And he was told by the female character, the lead character in the movie, "You've done nothing for which you should be ashamed." To which Gibson's character responded, "I have done nothing, and for that I am ashamed." Look, there is a time and place for good men and women to set aside talk and to actually do something. And it can be scary. It can be daunting to put yourself, your honor, your integrity, your good name, all on the line by showing up and letting yourself be counted. But more than ever in such a time as this, we need what I call giant killers. We do. We need giant killers. We need people who can stand and make direct eye contact with giants. We need somebody who has a rabid sense of, you know, the moment and is willing to get in the fray. And there's a sense of desperation right now coming from the darkest places in our society. I mean, not so long ago, there were marchers in so-called Pride Parade in New York City that were marching and chanting, "We're here, we're queer, and we want your kids." That's evil showing itself. Just last week, a friend of mine was in Seattle, I mentioned a moment ago, for a gathering of Christians in a public park. They were accosted by progressive LGBTQ activists, and like I said before, the mayor chose to blame the Christians. On our southern border, until most recently, desperate ranchers and small towns were being crushed by an overwhelming tide of illegal immigrants over the last several years. Major cities, especially in California, are facing an epidemic of drugs, crime, and homeless encampments that are literally squeezing the life out of once vibrant downtown areas. Look, I could go on, but you already know. There's a desperate wind blowing as if the enemies of the good are scratching and clawing to get more and more out of us. And this great nation, to include the state of Alabama where I sit right now, is facing a series of challenges, unlike any that we've had in contemporary memory. Now look, there will always be flares of social upheaval. There will be. That's a given. The process of give and take and social norms or questions of fiscal discipline, wars and rumors of wars, all that. But it's not often, though, that we see and feel such tangible calls for societal evolution. And this is a cause that is greater than all of us. But here's the good news. There is a but. Here's the good news. We are gaining ground. We are. Absolutely. We are seeing momentum right now swing in our direction on the conservative Christian right. As my lovely Charlene is prone to say, there are indeed more of us than there are of them. But the time to act is still on us. And truthfully, we'd be foolish to sit idle and waste this momentum. But I want to point out that this time that we're in, we are not in a unique place in human history. We're not. There are cycles of this throughout our entire history of mankind. And we can get through this, but we will have to take out some giants first. We will. I believe that America is actually poised right now to step into a moment that will set the standard for generations to come. And whether to accept or hopefully refuse to accept a new normal, one in which civil liberties like assembly and speech and due process and the right to confront our accusers or the right to ensure our votes count, all of those things could go away if we just sit and speak and don't actually take action. And the debate rages. And there's ideas and there's opinions and plans from all sides of the spectrum. But in the middle of it all, you may be asking yourself, okay, Phil, I hear you, but how can I make a difference? Can one person really do anything meaningful? What can I, in my limited sphere of influence, you may be thinking, ever hope to accomplish? Because what is happening right now is giant in its scope, so my question is, are you prepared to be a giant killer? Good people who speak up and decide to take action. even by themselves when necessary, or in small numbers, have often turned the tide of great moments in societies throughout history. And look, having said that, I feel like I got to draw an analogy to two of my favorite stories from the Bible. So regardless of anybody's personal views, I believe the storylines that originate in Numbers chapter 13 have a direct application to our current crisis. I do. So here's the context of it. In Numbers 13, the Israelites had just come through years of slavery and the great exodus from Europe, from Egypt, I mean. They stood on the border of the Promised Land, and they were about ready to cross over, and so Moses sent 12 men over the border to go check things out. Everything they had ever dreamed of in their quest for a new life was there. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. A people that had been through so much were on the edge of a new life. All they had to do was go take it. But there was a problem. There were giants in the land. Giants ready to oppose their progress. It was supposed to be easy, they thought. It was supposed to be a new day. Nobody said anything about having to overcome enemies that looked like that. Those are giants, they said. Those 12 spies that Moses sent, they came back and they reported to Moses and the people. 10 of those spies said, "This is not doable. We can't beat these giants." The giants were insurmountable. But two of the men, just two, Joshua and Caleb, they stood up and they called on the people to stay the course. But fear took over. The easy route was chosen. The people turned away from the fight. The giants won without having to do a thing. And the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness for the next 40 years. An entire generation had to pass away before the Israelites returned to cross the Jordan and enter the Promised Land. And the only two men who were allowed to cross over from the old group were Joshua and Caleb. When they did finally cross over, guess what? They still had to fight. It was not any easier because they had waited. They had simply delayed the inevitable and deferred the hard work to their children and grandchildren. I hope you caught that part. The fear of giants led to wandering in the wilderness so the next generation could come back and have to fight the same giants in the same way. There's another story, though, we have to look at in terms of giants. You know which one I'm going with right now. It's David, right? A few generations later, David, the least among his family of the least among the tribes. He was a small guy. Nobody would have expected him to be a giant killer. David took issue with the fact that there was this giant named Goliath who was, you know, just basically calling upon the Israelite army, and they were sitting in fear and fecklessness, and they would do nothing about this giant who was mocking their God. Well, you all know the story about David. He slew the giant. But there's a few pieces of that story you might have never noticed, because we're told in 1 Samuel 17 that on the way down to fight the Goliath giant in the valley, David stopped by a dry creek bed, and he picked up 5 smooth stones. 5. It only took one to kill Goliath. But he was mentally prepared to stay in that fight and sling all 5 stones if he had to. If one was not enough, he had 4 more. Here's the key point in that storyline. David was mocked. He was spurned by his own brothers and the people for daring to think he could fight that giant. The king told him he was too small. Naysayers couldn't imagine the idea of him confronting a giant. And David responded, "Is there not a cause?" That was his response. Is there not a cause? What a great question. What a great history. Is there not a cause? Is there something worth fighting for? Is there something bigger than ourselves? David chose to face the giant alone at first, but we read in the storyline that his stand galvanized the whole nation. It did. His single effort to face the giant rallied up the people, who then grabbed the momentum and he took them to victory. Look, I don't care where you draw your inspiration. A famous movie like The Patriot, a personal story, an experience of others or maybe of your own, or in this case, from a biblical narrative that I'm telling you about. But the fact remains that we're gonna have social and political will. We have to. We have to be willing to stand, or we most surely will fail. We have to stand. And maybe, even if we have to stand by ourselves at first, you know what? Something might happen. You might not reach the heights you're attempting, but if you remain seated, you most certainly won't reach them, right? I believe the state of Alabama, along with our southeastern neighbors in Tennessee, Florida, Mississippi, and most of Georgia, are on the cutting edge of this fight. We are poised right now as what we are supposed to be, as the most conservative states in the nation, to be a catalyst for substantive change, to serve as a bulwark against the absolute attempts to wreck our nation. And make no mistake, there are giants in the land. There are. And they have money, and they have power, and they have the ability to fight. But I was not selected to find the easy way out, and in my opinion, sitting idle is the option of fools and cowards. It's possible to find simple solutions to hard problems, and I will tell you right now that I believe that this is an audience full of giant killers. Having come this far, we have to cross over or it'll all have been for naught, and the next generation will have to fight our battles for us. I'll close with this. U.S. Senator George Allen was once asked about the tough race that he was in for the U.S. Senate. His opponent was fighting him with every dirty trick possible. It was mudslinging. It was gross. But Allen said, "Thunder's impressive, but it's lightning that does the work." You see, he knew. He knew that words sometimes would be supplanted by more meaningful action. So here's the deal. Something that I say often on the show, you find your place, you find your voice. Find one or two others. Go speak at a public hearing. Organize a social media campaign. Start your own podcast. Support a strong candidate for office. Run for office yourself. Write a letter to the editor. Do something. This is our country, and we are called to steward it well. And that broad-based strategy of stewardship is not easy by any means. It's certainly doable, though. These giants, they are not insurmountable. And we are not the kind to turn back. The world needs more giant killers. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.